All right. Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for coming and being willing to sit through what Bob has allowed me to do, of which I appreciate it tremendously. I'm glad you guys came. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. So let's pray and let's dig in. Lord, thank you for this moment that we have. Thank you for this time. God, I ask that you would open up our hearts, that your word would be cultivated now in us, God, that so we can live and serve you better. Lord, we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So my portion is 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 27. I am glad to have this opportunity to share with you. But if my voice starts trembling, it's because I'm nervous as can be. So I just figured I'd get that out of the way. So for two reasons, because I have to sit down and do this. And also because I've never done anything with on the GES stage. So I'm grateful, tremendously grateful. So here we are. The title I was given is to beware of the deception by Antichrist. When I was hearing Sean earlier, I sat there and I was thinking about, wow, you know, he started really well. I'm like, how do I start so well? And I thought about something. I said, this passage of scripture, we've been looking at the fact that how it deals with fellowship, right? And we understand that we are already believers. Amen. And so knowing that, why would God expect us to follow him? Why would he expect us? And so when John looks at this, there is a part that this portion of the text answers, of the why. Because, you know, why should I expect you to do this? It's really hard for me to expect my children to do something when I haven't given them the tools to do it. And so the Lord can expect us to do what he asks us to do, to follow his commands, not so that we can stay saved, but because we are saved. Because we're saved, he should have an expectation that you're going to do what I ask. My son, I give him a task every week. Your task is to take the trash out. Every week the Lord sends, the trash man is coming on Tuesday. So on Monday, what should you do? Take the trash to the curb. Real simple, right? It's not something that I should have to say every week. It's Monday. You might want to take the trash out. But I should expect on Tuesday morning that when the trash man comes, the trash will be taken out because he's been given the tools to do that. For you and I as believers, God has given us the tools in order to follow him. However, there will be some that may be among us, and some from outside, some within, some without, that will try to lead us, to cause us to say, well, there's more than that. No, God has given us everything we need so that we can live for him. And so we have to be aware of these deceptions. So because fellowship is so important to be fruitful and the faithful life of a believer, we must not forsake or cheapen it by disregarding the power of it. We shouldn't disregard it. So say this out loud with me. Say this out loud. Because I know, I do. Not because I do, I know. Because I know, I do. So I already know Christ. I'm a believer. I am a believer. Therefore, I do what he expects me to do. Not so that I can be a believer, but because I am. So false teaching and those that are attempting to revise the gospel, I think in Zane's book, the one that we were talking about, he calls them revisers, I believe. They have promoted John to write this letter. And so in the text, he calls them antichrists, those that are antichrist or against Christ. So while this false teaching would not negate one's eternal salvation, it may pose a threat to their assurance of salvation. I think Bob just alluded to that a moment ago. All right. So the first thing we have to do is recognize what we already have. Recognize what you already have. It's a beautiful thing to know what you've got. If you know what you got, then you can do something with what you have. Amen. All right. Let's look at the text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides, dwells in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Did you notice the past tense of the language? That you have, I'm writing to you, little children. So this is based on because of your spiritual connection. Little children, you have a spiritual connection with me because you found out as a little child, or as children do, the forgiveness that you've received from Jesus Christ. You were introduced to God at the foundation of forgiveness. You know your sins have already been forgiven. It says because your sins are forgiven, not your sins may be forgiven. They already are. For his name's sake, when he says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. That's the foundation. Sometimes when we get older, we need that foundation that you have. You've got it already. There's a reason that you should walk in Christ, because you've known him since the beginning. Don't turn away now. You've known him since the beginning, little children. You've known since the beginning that you've been forgiven, since the day you got saved. Foundation. And you have that knowledge. He goes on with young men. You have overcome. Verse 14. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. Not going to abide. It already abides in. It's in you now. That's why you've been able to overcome the wicked one. There have been some, it kind of suggests that there have been some things that have happened even as a young man or young lady. There's been some things that have already happened since the day you got saved, that because the word is in you, you've abided. You are continuing to follow Christ because the word is in you now. It's not that you need to go get it from somewhere. It's in you already. Amen. Because it's in you, you can live the way God wants you to live. Now, some would suggest that his writing as a spiritual kind of to the babes in Christ and to the young in Christ and to the older in Christ. But I think some commentators suggested that. But others would suggest that he probably would have put it in order with little children, young men, fathers, in the progression of that age. And so here I'm suggesting that he's looking at how we got our spiritual connection, how we became connected with God. Where did I get it from? Well, Sean alluded to it earlier when he talked about from chapter 1 in verse 1, it says that which was from the beginning. So from the beginning of your walk in Christ. Well, when did your walk in Christ begin? At the point of forgiveness. My son or your child may know Christ the moment they understand that their sins can be forgiven. The moment they understand, that's when they got that introduction. That there's some others older may need to know the foundation of the whole thing. Well, where did this all begin? I need to know a little bit more. And others, young men, you've overcome. You will have the abiding word is dwelling on the inside of you. Little children is the Greek word technion, and father is parter, and young men neoniskos. I'm probably messed that one up, but every time it's mentioned, it's talking about, when it says the little children, it's talking about little children, those little children. And so when we're looking at it, it's looking at it from a spiritual progression perspective. But those that are little children, when you receive it as a young child. I remember when I got saved, I was 5 when I accepted Christ. And what attracted me, get this, was the fact that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. Imagine that when John writes this, he says, I write to you little children, because of your sins are forgiven. You, some of us got it as a child, some of us got it a little older, and some of us got it as young men and young women. He goes on. So now when we get to the portion that deals with the enemy and the recognize Christ, first of all, we must beware that just because we know our common enemy does not give us the right to think we are immune to his attacks and tricks. Just because we're in Christ, we're not immune to the things the enemy does. One person even said, the stronger your faith in Christ is, the bigger the bullseye on your back is. And so the more you lean into the Lord, the more you know of his word, it's like the more the enemy wants to attack you and try to lure you away from the things of God. But why should God expect us to continue to trust Christ? Because we knew him from the beginning. Here it is. Look at verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, Bob did a great job of showing us that this is not a proof for life, etc. And some have even taught that. But it says, for all that is in the world, what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But is of the world. Verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, loving the world or the things of the world, it says it on our slide, deploring immorality. There are some that will deplore immorality. That's bad, and I don't want to do any of those things. But they have a deep drive for acquiring material things. Lust of the world. In verse 16, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You can note that back in Genesis chapter 3. One person has even said that the Satan doesn't have any new tricks. It's been the same trick since the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, we saw Eve saw that the tree, which she saw it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. And of course, in Luke, he tempts Jesus with the same types of things. Throw yourself down. Do something grand. Jesus, throw yourself down and let the angels catch you and all of those. And so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, those are those things that are in the world that we have something greater. Remember, we looked at the last slide. Think about what you already have. What you already possess is greater than anything the world can offer and or provide. Amen. It's greater than that. And so if I say that I only want what the world has, I'm beginning to be lustful after the things of this world. I think Dr. Tony Evans said it this way, and I'm probably going to mess up the quote, that if I focus on time, I am giving up the pleasures of eternity. But if I focus on eternity, I get time thrown in for free. So my focus shouldn't be on the things of the world. Why? Well, verse 17 says worldly things are passing away. Jesus said, don't put your trust in things on the earth where moth and rust can destroy. But put your treasures in heaven, right? But obedience to Christ leads and lasts and abides forever. Or we can hang out with God. Watch this. Would you rather hang out with somebody that enjoys your company?
Yes.
Now, think about that. It's almost Thanksgiving. And if your family comes to the house and they don't really enjoy your company, you're probably not going to enjoy their company. But if you have someone that enjoys your company, I think Ken mentioned it, that he likes Kentucky and the other two things he mentioned. Well, if you said, I don't like those things, well, we're probably not going to have too good a fellowship then. We'll be in the same room, but we won't really enjoy ourselves. But if I'm focused just on these things, then I'm missing out on the benefits that come with my salvation, because it's more than just I'm going to go to heaven. Amen. It's so much more than that. Don't diminish it by just saying, OK, now I'm saved, so I'm going to go to heaven. It's so much more than that. Praise God. And so our enemy wants us to focus on the things of this world. There were some that within and some without. Watch this. Let's continue on. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, here it is. And even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. I'm going to read through this and then we'll come back. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. In other words, they were with us. They've been around. And many have been in our space, and some even in our face. And soon that they walked away. And when they walked away, we were able to see. And this is not saying that we're being fruit inspectors or anything of that sort, but we're able to see later. Wow. You weren't really there. You know, not because I'm looking for you not to be there, but you showed me that you weren't there. He says some from within. But they were not of us. They were with us, but they were not with us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have been right here with us. They wouldn't have fallen away or went away from where following and trusting Christ and doing what he would have us to do. But they went out that they might be made manifest. Now we know who they are. That none of them were of us. Now we know what they're really about. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You don't know all things because you just know all things. You know all things because we know Christ. And his word shows us. It says, verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. I'm encouraging you. I want you know this. Sometimes when we're in Bible study right here in this room, I say, y'all know this stuff. This isn't new. You know this. He says, I'm not writing to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. If something can't be a truth, the truth and a lie at the same time. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Many Antichrists have already arrived. They've already shown up, John says. Because of this, the Bible teaches us that it is an indicator of the last hour. Jesus' return is sooner than we think. All we know now is that Jesus didn't come back yesterday. That's all we know. Because could Jesus come back tomorrow? Watch this. Could he come back at 9:15 tonight? So all we know is he didn't come back until now. And until now. And until, that's all we know. But the text tells us that because many antichrists have already come, we're in the last hour, not even the last day. We're in the last hour. So his return is sooner than we think. And because you know the truth, because of the anointing of the Holy One, hold on to what you know is true. Don't allow those that have fallen away or have gone away from the truth to steer you from the truth. Hold on to what you know is true, so you do not allow anyone or things to sway you away from the truth of the word of God. Current Antichrist have come, the slide says, and describe the character of the Antichrist in verse 22 and 23. How do I know what the character of the Antichrist is? Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus Christ? Antichrist, obviously, right? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So the one that comes and says, well, Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not God in the flesh. Well, okay. All right. Thank you for telling me. Now I know. Now I know what I'm dealing with. Right? And he warned us that some may be in the space in which we reside. But we have to hold on to what we know is the truth. Amen? Finally, it says, therefore, excuse me. Therefore, verse 24, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Now, notice we noted those things earlier, how we talked about what you already know, what you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you,
All right. You also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. Well, I still need to do this. No, that's not what the text says. The text says, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Don't convolute and muddy what you know is right. Don't allow others to come in and say and try to turn you away from what you know is right. When you know a thing is right, it's right. When you know it's true, it's true. Even though the lie that may be told may sound compelling, but if the truth is the truth, then a lie is a lie. And if you know the truth, then stick with the truth. Praise God. Okay, I sound preachy. Let me stay where I'm at. Watch my voice. Exactly. It says, and this verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Dr. Bill Corver, my college president, who introduced me to GES, says, and I don't know if he got it from somewhere, but I heard it from him. He says, if it's not eternal life, then God named it wrong. Yeah. Really simple. If it's a little piece and then maybe some later, okay, then God named it wrong. He said it's eternal life. So it's eternal life. Verse 26. These things I've written to you. Here it is again. Concerning those who try to deceive you. I'm trying to let you know that they are coming. If they haven't come already, that are going to try to deceive you. Try to turn you around. That's why I'm writing to you, to remind you to embrace and enjoy what you know is right. Because it's one thing to embrace something. It's another thing to enjoy. Nobody wants to get married and just embrace their spouse and not enjoy their marriage. That would be fruitless, right? If you're married and your spouse will say, look at your spouse and say, I don't want to do that. So, but you want to embrace it, but you also want to enjoy it. So as a believer, enjoy being saved. Stay where I'm at. Okay. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, verse 27, which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, you already know it. So this is something you don't need to be taught. These are things that you may need to be reminded. A refresher course. This is not new information, John says, because you knew it from the beginning. Anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. I had at one point, I had on this slide, hold what you got, but I didn't want it to suggest that you need to hold it in order to keep it. And so I changed it to embrace and enjoy what you already have. Because as a believer, as a Christian, it's great being saved. It's fun being saved. It's not a bunch of rules that you got to follow. It's freedom in Christ. And so, what person is going to not be in prison, but live like they're in prison? So if the Son has set us free, be free, right? And because you know you're free, be free. Here's the image. Peter locked in jail. The book of Acts. He's locked in jail. And they are praying. The church is praying for Peter to be released. And God answers the prayer. The angel comes and everybody's sleeping. And he opens the prison door. Peter's awake and he's sitting there and the prison doors are open. And it's like he has to say, okay, Peter, come on. Come on out of the cell. And when you and I got saved, when we received Jesus Christ, it's like the prison door was open. Well, now
you know the truth. So walk in your truth. Walk in knowing that the truth of Jesus Christ is there. And enjoy it. Abide in it. Dwell in it. Of the joy that he lavishes on us. Just, my mother would say wallow. Just wallow in it. Just wallow in the fact that you are in Christ and you can enjoy it. Not enjoy it when you get to heaven, but enjoy it now. And it's a bonus when you get to heaven. Amen. But don't allow anybody to turn you around. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reminder. God, thank you for reminding us in your word that that you've already set us free, God, that you've made us free, God, that you've done this for us already. And that because we know you from the beginning, God, that we can maintain and stay in knowing that you love us regardless of us. Thank you, God, for that. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.